I'm Frank Vaughn, and you'll have to forgive any technical glitches on this March 22nd, 2026. I am still working on transferring everything over to my new build. This is being recorded on the old build. I want to take you back a few months to when Doug Ford was threatening to cut off electricity to 1.5 million Americans. I was outraged by this at the time, and my audience, universally, a much larger audience because people have tuned out due to my coverage and the way I'm covering the Iran war. They'll be back. I was outraged and my audience was in universal agreement. I said, cutting off electricity to 1.5 million Americans, civilians, constitutes a crime against humanity. Now, not a war crime because Canada and the United States weren't at war, but a crime against humanity. I don't use the words lightly. When I say something like ethnic cleansing, or I say the word genocide, which I haven't had cause to use yet, when I say war crime or crime against humanity, I am talking about legal terms. I'm not just using the words lightly. I understand the definitions of what these things mean. And I need to talk about what's about to happen, because Trump has made an ultimatum saying that if Iran does not open, 100% open, the Strait of Hormuz, he will bomb their energy infrastructure, and in effect, he will plunge 90 million Iranians into darkness. They will not have access to basic resources. That will affect their water supply. That will affect just about everything. And it is, whether you like it or not, a war crime and a crime against humanity. And this is an important thing. Now, we have to go to the Iranian response, which was fairly immediate, though they immediately responded that they're not going to bow down. Remember, I've been trying to tell people the mentality of the Iranian people, the mentality of the Iranian regime, as U.S. intelligence has borne out the way that I see the world. This is the thing. This isn't about me being special. I'm just a guy with a webcam and a mind and a curiosity and a will to want to spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day, every single day, even on a Sunday. Maybe not this Sunday. We're having dinner with friends. But every other time, understanding the world. And if I can foresee these things, how is it military planners cannot foresee them? Understanding that the Iranian people are now unified, the intelligence community in the United States agrees, that the regime is stronger, not weaker. Remember, you were told by the politicians they were about to fall. Universally, Israeli politicians, except for one, haven't even got around to covering that guy yet. Imagine what his job's like. The one lone voice in the Knesset who's against this war. They all told you it was going to spontaneously fall apart. All they had to do was take out the leadership. The leadership is stronger now than it was before, in spite of all the people Trump has claimed to have killed. They're united. And if you understand the roots of Shia Islam, you will understand the concept of martyrdom is integral. And this is a belief and a faith that is used to systemic discrimination and repression and pogroms against it by its brother Muslims, by its brother Sunnis. This is ingrained generationally, almost in their DNA, which is why the bombastic threats are not going to work. This is the Iranian detailed response. However, if the United States carries out its threats against Iran's power plants, the following punitive actions will be taken immediately. The Strait of Hormuz will be completely closed and will not reopen until our damaged power plants are fully rebuilt. All power plants and the energy and information technology infrastructure of Israel will be widely targeted. All similar companies in the region that have American shareholders will be completely destroyed. Power plants in regional countries hosting U.S. bases will be considered legitimate targets. You have to understand, I am not, as people constantly keep saying to me, that I am carrying water for the Iranian regime. I'm not. I am understanding their position and how they view this conflict. And that's the mistake that a lot of people are making. They're not looking, they're not putting themselves in the shoes of the Iranians just to see how they perceive this conflict in the world. To them, countries that host U.S. bases that attack their soil are themselves legitimate targets for defense. Because from Iran's perspective, this is defensive action. And I would say it's truthfully defensive action, because Israel and the United States have now attacked Iran twice under a flag of truce. Iran never directly attacked anybody. They have been bombarded. 81,000 civilian structures have been damaged or leveled in Iran. That's what's happened. They're sustaining massive damage at the surface, but their war-making capacity hasn't diminished. Look, you have been told by the Trump administration that they're destroyed. They have no navy. Their ballistic factories are closed. Their army's completely wiped out. None of these things are true. And the evidence of that is right before your eyes. Almost 200 injured, 11 seriously in Iranian missile strikes in the southern city of Arad and Dimona. They're now targeting smaller communities in Israel, and they're making direct hits. And the missiles are coming every 3 hours now. The attacks are increasing. Remember all of the Hegseth pressers where he talked about the Iranian missile strikes being down 80%, 90%? They had all of these really cool-sounding numbers as he promised death and destruction from above. Well, they don't talk about that anymore because the missile salvos are coming on a more regular basis, and they're coming in greater number. And I told you, I predicted this months ago, even during the 12-day war, that what Iran would do is just very small salvos, deplete those very thin missile interceptor reserves until they could confirm that the skies were open, and then they would hit as hard as they can. And you may say they're not hitting as hard as the Americans and the Israelis are hitting. It doesn't matter. I seen footage, which I'm not going to show here because I look at this footage and I'm starting to wonder if they're already dropping tactical nukes on Iran to try and get some of the deep underground bases. Because these, I've watched a lot of footage of MOABs from Afghanistan, and these look bigger. These explosions look way bigger. They're displacing a lot more earth. The smoke columns and the dust columns are much bigger. I mean, I don't think so, but it's possible we're already at that stage. It's not diminishing their ability to respond. Now, once again, this is a mistake that a lot of alternative media, mainstream media, is making right now. The article on screen from Zero Hedge, one of my favorite sources. I love Zero Hedge. Not trying to diss them, but they lost their edge a little bit when it comes to this conflict. The reason I go to Al Jazeera is because Al Jazeera is straddling the fence. They don't like Israel and the United States, but Qatar is aligned with Israel and the United States in this war, and they're under attack by Iran. Their coverage has been excellent. And when I say excellent, it's not because I agree with it. I really don't agree with how they're covering Israel. They're just literally copying and pasting Israeli military statements, with every now and again they slip something in that's not just an Israeli military statement. It's a summary from on the ground, but they do both. When it comes to the Gulf states defending themselves, they're always repeating ad nauseum the interception story that everything's getting intercepted and there's no damage. I don't believe it, but I can kind of see through the fog of war, and I can perceive. The article on screen says, Iran's first use of ICBMs raises serious questions about remaining arsenal. This is going off the unfounded myth, which is what it is at this point, that Iran fired these missiles. Iran, for its part, says they didn't shoot these missiles. And that's being ignored. The only people who've picked it up is Al Jazeera, and they're not picking it up as a firm thing. They're covering both sides. Like I said, they're straddling the fence. But the Iranians are saying these were not their missiles. And the Iranians have been saying that some of the drones and some of the missile strikes on the Gulf states are not theirs. Here's the thing. The Iranians at this stage have no incentive to lie because they're in a commanding position. They have proven, when it comes to the escalation ladder, that they are responsive, not initiatory. Responsive in their own metric, but when they didn't target energy infrastructure until they were hit first, until those oil tanks were hit in Tehran, and the Israeli and the Americans, they turned the sky black, and they were proud of their war crime. That was a war crime too, because it polluted the air to such an extent that there will be a visible spike in cancers down the road. Acid rain falling on civilians' heads who've never done anything to the United States or to America. The supposed civilians that the Americans profess to be liberating, the same civilians that are now threatening to leave in the dark and destroy all of their infrastructure. It's really bad. But the Iranians have no incentive to lie, and they claim they didn't do this. Now, there are nations on this earth who are known for their false flag attacks. They're known for their capacity of duplicity through their intelligence operations. They're known for their Epstein racket. There's no reason to believe that all missile strikes and all attempts at destruction in the various nations are the result of Iran. There is incentive to pull other nations in the region into the conflict. Iran denied that they fired a missile at Turkey. They denied they fired a missile at Azerbaijan. I'm not taking them fully at their word, but lost in the story, this whole story goes on and talks about it, but it pays next to no attention to the fact that the Iranians are saying, we didn't fire those ICBMs. Doesn't mean they don't have the capacity, but it's being lost in the mix. So where are we at on this Sunday? Well, I think everybody should be prayerful. I think it would be a good time if you're an American to talk to your congressman or talk to your senator. Trump's gone off the rails. This threat of destruction. Some of the harms of this war are irreversible now. They're already baked in. I said several days ago that if the thing didn't end in a couple days, baked in harsh conditions for the markets and for the global economy and strategic changes that people can't even fathom yet are already baked into the mix. It's going to force, if the war ended today, it will force a reassessment of the Gulf's relationships with the United States. It will force, it's already forcing, a Japanese reassessment. After that, Pearl Harbor faux pas of Trump showing no class and no restraint at a time when he needs some, at a time when he needs to be diplomatic, saying he is glad that Robert Mueller is dead. Whether you liked him or not, this was a decorated war hero. He meant a lot to a lot of Americans. It's just not a time for that kind of gloating. This is tanking Republican prospects in the midterms. It's all doing damage. This will force a reassessment of the U.S. relationship, no matter what you do. The disruption in the global economy is baked in. It's already March 22nd. Urea supplies, the fertilizers, are not leaving the Gulf. And what is leaving the Gulf is leaving at the behest of Iran because the nations of the world are bypassing the United States, which is probably what Donald Trump is most angry about, is no one's bothering to call him anymore. They're calling the Iranians. Do you understand the damage that this is, that this represents to the prestige of the United States and the world? Do you understand how these are torpedo shots at the backstop, the U.S. dollar? It's really bad. And if he goes ahead with his ultimatum and he actually doesn't back down, I see no reason why he wouldn't. He doesn't seem opposed very much by the U.S. government. The military seems cowardly, doesn't want to stand up to the orders coming out of the administration for various reasons. Maybe it's because the orders are coming from more powerful characters who actually pull the strings in the United States. No one seems to be standing up to him. If he goes forward and bombs their energy infrastructure and Iran makes good on their promises, which I have no reason to doubt they will, because to this point, they have kept their word. In this war, they have kept their word all the way along. You have to track who is lying and who isn't lying. The Iranians are not lying. They've got news crews on the ground showing you the damage. It's the Israelis and the Americans and the GCC hiding the scale of damage, gaslighting you about the reduction of Iran's military capacity. You know, they got 1 million men under arms in that country. The ground invasion is going to be a disaster. If Trump backs off from bombing the energy infrastructure, takes that face damage, I mean, it's easy. He just writes a truth. His followers will just retweet it, declare victory, do whatever it is they do, because it's a cult of personality. Yeah, I like ideas. I like the promises. I like the campaign. I like the idea of an orderly reduction in the American empire. You know, this is a theme for me. going back to 2016, where I said you weren't picking a president, and I said at the time that Trump was braggadocious and blowhard because he was talking about preserving the American empire. And I said, you can't preserve it. You're picking who is going to manage its retreat and decline. And I thought Trump was the better option over Clinton. I thought he was the better option over Biden, and I thought he was the better option over Harris, particularly because all of those candidates were promising the very war that Trump has now delivered. He was against it. And he was talking about, why are U.S. troops policing the Middle East? Why are U.S. troops policing Europe? Why are we wasting our treasure when we have needs at home? These were beautiful words and ideas. Really good ideas. And so I said back then, you're picking who is going to manage that decline. Well, now it appears, after all of these years, a decade, it appears that instead of managing the decline, Trump is trying to keep it all. And worse yet, an already overextended empire is overextending itself into the graveyard of empires. Look up that term. Punch it into Google. Graveyard of empires. Understand that Persia and Afghanistan, that region, that's where empires go to die. That's where overextension manifests for the most powerful empires in the world. Never works out well. This isn't going to work out well. And if he goes forward with the strike on their energy infrastructure and they make good on their promise to hit back, then the damage is baked in for years to come. That's why I am reorganizing my life around this outcome. I don't necessarily think the lights are going to go out. Not yet, anyway. There's a lot of disincentive for the Russians and the Chinese and the Americans to start nuking each other's mainlands. No one wants to do that. They might nuke the Middle East, but I don't think they're going to nuke each other yet. I don't really know. There's a standoff coming. There's two ultimatums, aside from the energy infrastructure ultimatum, running concurrently. The Russians sending their oil to Cuba, intending to run the American blockade at a time when the Americans have lifted sanctions on Russia and lifted sanctions on Iran. They've made $14 billion so far. While at war with the United States, they're making more money, and Trump is parading around talking about victory. MAGA people, you gotta wake up. The bot swarms on Twitter, you guys gotta wake up too. I am appealing to the bots. I'm appealing to the language models. Please wake up. Because if there's a world where there's no technology available, you're not going to do well either. Bots and humans have got to come together here. These are wild times. The disruption is massive. And, you know, I've looked into it. The damage that would be done to the Chinese economy for making a move on Taiwan is far less than the damage it would do to the Western economies, in my appraisal. And every single day that goes on, every single resource that's deployed to the Middle East in this wasted effort weakens the American position in the Pacific, and the Chinese are very patient as a civilization. They might be smelling their opportunity. And the Japanese, they're making deals with Iran. They're making deals with Russia. The United States is losing its empire. It's losing its clout in the world under Donald Trump right now. And there's a big operation on YouTube to tell you that this is actually a master plan to secure the future for everybody. What am I supposed to do? I only have so big an audience. I only have so many people I can communicate with, and people only have so much time. I'm not the only one trying to communicate this message. Everybody's communicating it in a different way. The overall geopolitical, real-world implications of this disaster, you got to wake up to it. If you're clicking dislike on this video, I hope you stick around. Keep clicking dislike. I don't give a damn. Call me names. Call me an Iranian shill. Make pictures of me as the Ayatollah. I don't care. I'm trying to save you as well as my audience that's here just to hear what I have to think. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to wake you up. Even if the lights don't go out, where I live, this will be the last place on earth that there's a diesel and gas shortage. I can bet you can bet that. But that's not true for other places in North America, and it's certainly not true for other places in the world. You need to do some resilience training if there's things that you think you need for your own survival or for to, that's why I went out and bought a computer at an excessively expensive price. You know, I was watching a video I haven't tuned in for a while to Nexus. I think it's Nexus Gaming. Steve, though, he's got beautiful hair. He does technology reviews. And I can admire another brother's hair. Absolutely. And he did this video recently. That was fairly recently. And he said, why am I, you know, I'm branching into doing reviews on other products because why would I keep reviewing technology? The way things are going, there's going to be no technology available. And what technology there is, if there's any tech available, it's going to be so expensive that the average person can't afford it. And I don't want to cater to rich people. And that really hit me. That really hit me. Because there's no such thing as a high-end gaming rig anymore that isn't going to set you back $4,000 or $5,000. And if you want an advanced AI setup production rig, I don't even want to tell you what it's costing. And that's right now, while there's still very limited availability. If things keep happening the way that they're happening, if China moved on Taiwan, that's it, man. Those old video cards that you've had hanging around on your shelf for 10 years, they're going to be worth a lot of money. Don't throw them out. All of your old tech is going to be used scrambling to keep the infrastructure going. And that's just one aspect. Supply chains are very complex. This war is worse for supply chains than C-19 because at least during C-19, the infrastructure that underlied it survived and was able to put itself back together by the miracle of the free market, semi-free market. I don't want to get into that debate right now. This is different. Because the underpinnings of that market are being destroyed and the vital artery of the world, the Persian Gulf, is at the center of it. The Houthis haven't even activated yet, folks. Just wait until they close the Red Sea. Just wait until Iranian missiles are falling down on oil infrastructure and gas infrastructure all across the Middle East. Just wait until the whole region is plunged into darkness. It's easy to blow up a power plant. You fly a plane over it, you drop some gravity bombs, boom, it's gone. It takes a long time to rebuild something so complex. We're talking about a civilizational threat here. All because of an Israeli-American war of aggression. And the only thing we can do is make noise and hope somehow, some way that people can prevail on the egomaniac Trump or whatever's wrong with him. I don't know what's wrong with him. Not the same guy. There are people out there who say he's a clone. People out there saying he's dead. People out there saying he's in a mask. I don't know about any of that stuff. I'll allow you to speculate. Something's gone off. I don't know if you need to go to that extent. I don't have time for that. Other people can do that. He's got to... Somehow, some way, he's got to walk this back. He's got to come down from this ultimatum. The situation is dire. Today is Sunday. Even if you don't pray, do a little bit of praying. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.